Let me start this morning by just reading from that passage which we just sang, Psalm 86. Just the middle of that psalm, last week we looked at it a little bit, the beginning part, but right in the middle, starting in verse 11, it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead." Each one of these young men who were baptized here this morning were asked to share a little bit about their faith journey to this point in their lives, because that's what it is. It is their story to this point. Baptism is not a beginning point, nor is it an ending point, or it's not like a finish line where you can say, "Oh man, now I'm baptized, I have arrived." But it is a part along the journey. It is a part of their faith journey in their lives. Today, I'm reminded that my life, that your life, even our lives together, considering the different points where our lives intersect, our lives are journeys of faith. It is a movement of experiences, of relationships, learning, everything that's constantly put together, constantly shaping who I am becoming. And God, in His great mercy and His love, He pursues us and He has our attention. He is not outside of this faith journey as if we were trying to fit Him in, or even as if God was trying to force His way into our lives. But as we were reminded last week in the first part of this psalm, we recognize that God's ear, that His heart is bent towards us. His heart is bent towards us. No matter what's going on around us, God has our attention. He cares. He watches. He carries us. And this is a recurring theme in this whole Psalm 86. Again and again, it's stated in this psalm in this way. It says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." Another point, it says, "For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead." I don't know if you can comprehend this, but God is pursuing you. God is madly in love with you, and He is pursuing you, reaching out towards you. And knowing that we have God's attention, the psalmist here, David, he makes a request and he asks for something. And this morning we are joining in with the psalmist with this simple request. He says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Show me your path. Show me, help me to understand what it means to walk with you, what it means to live for you, that I would live and walk in this way of truth. And the psalmist, he simply says, "Well, I know, God, you hear me. I know that you are listening. I know that you have my attention. Teach me. Teach me to walk in your truth." And then he goes on and says, "And give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Help me, God, to focus my attention on you, to focus my desires, that I would give you the honor, the respect, the worship that you are worthy of. A simple prayer. It's a request for those who have not yet arrived. It is a request, a simple prayer for those of us who have not yet said, "Well, you know what, I've got it all together." It's a simple request that says, "God, I need your help to walk this faith journey that I am on. I need you to teach me. I need you to help me and give me a heart that's clearly focused and directed on you." No matter where you are in this journey right now, know this, that God's posture towards you is this: "I am here, I am listening, you have my attention." And know also that He will guide you, that He will teach you so that you can walk in His truth. Yamin, in the testimonies, in the faith journeys that we've heard, there is this sense of God having pursued, but also having led and taught. as each of these young men open up their hearts to God. God will give you an undivided heart, helping you to clear away the distractions, the objections, the fears, those things that would get in the way of, and then he would enable us, he would enable you to worship him, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. One of the gifts that God gives, and he's given to each of us to see this prayer fulfilled, is the church. He has given us each other. He has given us the church to learn from and to worship together, to be encouraged and to support each other in this walk of faith. God has given us the church to help us live out our faith journey in community, in relationship with others who are also just trying to sort things out. Now, it should be said that the church is not the only place you will live out your faith journey. It's not the only place where you will grow. It's not the only place where you'll be encouraged. But it is a part and parcel of what God has given us. An opportunity to be taught, to be encouraged, to be helped in our walk with God, to be strengthened, to learn and to experience the depth of a single-minded focus on God. Now, as a church, our vision is simply stated in this way: to pursue God together, to see lives transformed. Now, vision is given to us, and the whole idea of vision is meant to provide us with a compelling picture of the future. Take a look at that statement. Ask yourself this question. You don't have to say it out loud. Just look at that statement. What is compelling about these words? Is there anything about these words that is compelling, that excites you? I mean, what would in these words move us to action? What would thrill you if we would see this happen? Think about it. What compels you in this statement? Well, let me share a few things that excite me as I look at this. A few thoughts that just excite me, that compel me, and that create a sense of enthusiasm for God's work and for this community. First of all, I see, and it excites me and compels me, God. God himself. Experiencing God, knowing that he is not just a religious idea to be pursued or packaged, but that he is knowable, that God is real, that he is someone whom we can experience, that we can love, that we can worship, that we can honor, that we can devote our lives to. That excites me, that compels me to know that my life is not just lived in a vacuum or in a void, but that God is at the heart of it. He is the Father. He has been made known to us through his Son, and he's to be experienced through the Holy Spirit. And so that's one thought in this statement that really compels me. God, pursuing God. Another thought that really compels me here is together. The whole idea of community and relationship and walking and living this journey together. And to know that I'm not alone, that someone has my back, and that I can have the back of someone else, that there is a sense of camaraderie, there's a sense of walking side by side and back to back, that we are doing this life together. And so that is something that compels me and excites me. But I got to say, the last thing that I want to point out really excites me the most, and that's the whole idea of transformation. Life change, personal life change, community transformation, healing, restoration, the power of God making all things new. That's what really excites me with this statement, that we are called to see lives transformed, to be transformed, but also that we are a part of this transformation, of this life change. At Kings, we have sought to answer the how question about how will we pursue God together, how will we see lives transformed, by focusing on three pillars: grow, connect, and serve. Now, I could probably spend a Sunday or more on each one of these. This week, I want to only focus on, my goal is to focus on two. Grow and connect. And next Sunday, Julie's going to have the whole time just to cover serve. But I'm going to try to do this, okay? I know that we have starters that are waiting, and I hope you got your crock pots plugged in so that your food's being kept warm if that's what you brought, or other stuff. So just stay with me for a few minutes as we talk about grow and connect. First of all, grow. Oh, there it is. It's your destiny to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a passage where it talks about, and it uses the comparison of children growing to adults. And it says very quickly in Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. There it is. We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every new wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The truth of the matter is that it is your destiny. It is each one of our destinies to grow, to mature, to develop, and to be made full and to just mature in our lives and in our relationships. Now, if I had a little seed in my hand and I needed to give this little seed a pep talk and kind of encourage it on its life before I put it in the ground, I'd probably say something like, little seed, as you prepare yourself now to go into the ground, you will grow. It is in you to grow. And then I plant the seed into the ground and then I nurture it with water and the sunlight and all the things. And I remind it, you will face hardship. It'll be difficult to push through that ground and become a plant, but you will face difficulty. You will advance slowly and steadily, but at the core of your being, you must know it is your destiny to grow. And in the same way for you and I, as we, in a physical sense, when children are born and even as they're being shaped in their mother's womb, there is this sense of growing and this sense of maturing. Yesterday, I dropped by at the Alamads and a family that we're supporting as refugees here in Canada, and they had a new baby just last Sunday, and I saw Mona, this little girl. She is so cute and tiny. Like, I mean, Sarah, their daughter, who's, I think she's 10 years old, is that about right? 10 years old. She was carrying little Mona. And I thought at first when I saw, oh, Sarah's just carrying around a little doll. But then I looked closer and I went to her and she's, oh, she's so sweet, so small. But you know what? If that baby would just stay in that state all along, like that would be, it's great that she's so cute now, but you want that child to grow. You want that child to develop. It's her destiny to grow and to mature. And so in the same way, as followers of Christ, people who have been called by Christ to trust him for salvation, to surrender their lives to his lordship, who trust him through the joys and sorrows of life, through the obstacles and through the sweet victories, through the changing of seasons, we need to hear that pep talk again and again, just with that little seed. It is your destiny to grow. Matthew and Stephen and Jacob, who were baptized this morning, that was just a part of their growth, their journey in faith. And it is has been their destiny to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. And that was just part of it. But from this point, guys, you will continue to grow. You will continue. It is your destiny to continue to grow, to continue to draw strength from Christ, to be encouraged and supported in the body of Christ. The passage in Ephesians 4, that whole passage, and we didn't read it all, but it's God speaking to Paul in a letter written to a church, a people who are trying to find their place in the world. And he backs it all up with the foundation of Christ and the fullness of God. And he gives them this pep talk and he says to them, and he reminds them in the midst of this world that they are living in, folks, it is your destiny to grow. No longer being immature, tossed this way and that way, but to be rooted, to be sharing, to be encouraging, to be using the gifts that God has given you and to grow in them. You've been planted in this world from the moment you surrendered your life to Christ. Your life takes a new direction. And through the gift of grace, he enables you to grow. This thought is all over the letter to the Ephesians. And it's great encouragement to those who are tempted to think that our lives don't really matter for much, that God's not really interested, that they have nothing to contribute to the church. But in Christ, your life has been made new. You have been chosen, called. You're not forgotten. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, where he says, "You are mine." Now live up to that calling, Paul says. Mature, it is your destiny to grow. How will we as a church, as King's Community Church, help you, support you in your destiny to grow as followers of Christ? Well, over the summer, we have been talking about the rule of life. And we will continue to cultivate growth and encouragement in this developing and shaping the rule of lives from our leaders, but also in the life of our church, by encouraging daily scripture reading to find regular and varied ways to pray together, whether corporately or even individually, and also to keep a Sabbath rest. Now, our weekly gathering of worship here in this place will be intentional in reading the scriptures together. We're going to be looking for ways to continually bring the scripture into our services. Our kids' ministries and junior high as well that takes place while we're here. Also, very Bible-based with scripture memorization, Bible-based teaching, where we talk about the scriptures and apply them to our lives. We'll be looking to God's word as a guide and direction for our lives. At Thanksgiving, we're going to start a foundational teaching right out of the book of Genesis, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. From Advent to Easter, right after that, we're going to be using the lectionary. A lectionary is a tool that's used and has been used in the church generally, but it's a very scripture-guided tool. Our messages and our services will draw us to the scriptures. We will regularly give opportunities for prayer in our gatherings. Also, one-on-one through our prayer corner. And this morning, it's set up again. Just as a reminder, those kind of folders there, those white folders that you see, are a reminder to us there's a place to pray, and somebody is prepared to pray with you. We want to make prayer a very real part of our lives, encouraging a lifestyle through teaching and through telling the stories of how God is using Scripture and using prayer to change our lives. As leaders, we will seek to model the practice of Sabbath rest. This may be one of the toughest things that we have to do in the life of our church. But you will rest whether you like it or not. No, just kidding. But as leaders, we're looking for ways to encourage each other and hold one another accountable, that we can just tell the stories of what it means to rest. And as we model this, to encourage you in your lives to find this place of balance in Sabbath rest. The key component of seeing this pillar of grow come to life in our church is through the telling of stories. Now, often as pastors, we get to hear these stories firsthand, and we want to find ways to tell these stories of growth and maturity, these experiences with God. I mean, in a formal setting like this morning where we have baptism and literally we tell these guys, okay, you've got to come up with something. You've got to tell your story. And we work with them in that. You know what? Wouldn't that be great to week after week just hear stories like that of what God is doing in your lives? And let that be an encouragement to us. And so we invite you to tell your stories, not only to us, but also to be open to share those stories in a wider way in our gatherings, to encourage us of the growth that God is bringing into our lives. The second part of a pillar that we want to talk about this morning, and just moving along fairly smoothly here quickly, is connect. This is related also to telling the stories, because this has to do with cultivating our relationships with God, but also our relationship with each other. As we tell these stories to each other, we begin to connect with one another. I read a tweet this past week from Bruxy Cavey, the pastor of the Meeting House. It reminded me about the importance of connection in the body of Christ. He writes, "The gospel is a don't-do-it-yourself kit." What a great way to look at that. The gospel is a don't-do-it-yourself kit, because the gospel is lived out in community. The gospel is lived out in connection one with another, demonstrated through this commitment of being together regularly, experiencing God, and relationships with people. As Jesus was preparing himself in prayer just before he was to fulfill his destiny, one of the key things on his mind was that those who followed him would be one. And he prayed in John 17, and there's a longer prayer, and he prays about a number of things. He prays for himself, he prays for his followers, for his disciples, but he also prays for that the followers, the believers who would come in future generations. In a sense, he prays for us. In John 17, it says in verse 20, as a part of this prayer, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one as you and I are one, Father, that as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe you sent me. Nearing the end of his life, Jesus is praying that his disciples would connect, that they would be one, that his church would be connected, that all those who will ever believe in him would be connected, that there would be a strength of relationship there. Not that they would all join Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat and keep that stream going, or that, oh my God, wrong word. What's the word? Streak. I just proved myself that I'm just not with it. That's not what Jesus is inviting us to do, to join Facebook and be connected on social media. But he's inviting us and he's praying that we would experience a level of intimacy and oneness that Jesus himself experienced with the Father. His dream for us was that we would be one as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. When we surrender to Christ, to his lordship, we become followers. We grow in understanding and experience as we follow his example and the example of those who are his followers. And when we follow Jesus, it means we follow him into community, into relationships, into connection. Our calling is to community. How will we as a church cultivate relationships and connection with God and one another? Well, we want to be a welcome and hospitable community, to be intentional about welcoming newcomers. Last year, we introduced the whole idea of gift, and every week, you may even see that up on the screen when you come in. It's a reminder to us as a church, to us as people who belong and are connected with King's Community Church, that we have a gift to give to everybody. First of all, that we would greet someone new, that we would move outside of our comfort zones. As a church, we need to continually be reminded to move out of that comfortable conversation and greet somebody who is new or greet somebody who we do not know as well. And so, G, the second part is I, to introduce someone to someone else. Maybe you know somebody and you introduce them to someone else in a conversation. We have the gift of friendship. F, we follow up a conversation. When you meet somebody and you have a conversation, you find out some things that are going on, you follow it up. You care enough to follow that up with another conversation. And then T, thank someone to express appreciation. It's so important that we as a welcome and hospitable community find ways to be appreciative, to be grateful, to be thankful for those who serve around us. And so that is what we will continue to seek to do as a church, to connect by being a welcome and hospitable community. We will have potlucks and intentional opportunities to connect, like today. I hope all of you are able to stay, and I hope there's lots of food that you can stay and enjoy and just connect with one another, get to know one another as we reignite together into this new season of ministry. In November, we're planning what we call, and some of you have been a part of this in the past, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, a simple way to just help us engage one another in different homes. We had a board meeting last week, and on Thursday, and we were talking a little bit about engaging and even in terms of visiting and in people's homes, having meals and things like that. And we realized as this conversation was going that it almost seems countercultural to invite somebody to dinner. It almost seems like, oh my goodness, like that just doesn't happen anymore. Well, we want to be countercultural. We want to be a people who are hospitable and welcoming others, even in that way. Also, we connect with one another by telling stories, sharing the experiences of life and our lives with God. There are small group opportunities now and coming up in the future. There's a young adults group that meets regularly. There's an upcoming ladies group that will be hosted between Meredith and Diana Pressey. I guess Diana Pressey will be hosting it. Yeah, and it's going to be a Beth Moore series that's going to be coming up. In the past, we've had Men and Muffins, and we hope to reignite that as well on a Saturday morning, just a time when men be together for Men and Muffins. Our ministry prayer team, it's a great time to come together and talk about prayer and pray for one another. Teams that are serving together, worship teams, serving teams, Zoom teams, leaders who are gathered together, building relationship, cultivating relationship as we serve. We're also looking forward to having a small group on a Walk Through the Bible series. And that'll come sometime later on in the fall, where we'll invite you to come, and it'll be more of a study session, but it'll be an opportunity to hear some of the things that are the story of scriptures from beginning to end. The gospel is lived out and experienced in community. Connectedness that is demonstrated through a commitment to be together regularly, experiencing God with relationships and with Him and with people. Psalm 86 is a prayer that reminds us that God has our attention. His heart is bent towards us. And since we have His attention, we ask Him anew today, teach us to know Your ways. Teach us and help us to grow and understand what it means to follow You, to live for You. Give us an undivided heart. Let our focus, let our hearts be devoted to You alone, so that we would worship You in spirit and in truth. God has given us this community as a church to support and encourage us in this way. May we pray together. May we work together and grow together to see His life become more and more alive among us. We have a compelling picture of the future before us, a picture of God pursuing God and all that He is, a picture of relationship that He has called us to, and a picture of transformation, that we would be changed and that we would be life changers in our community. That's a whole lot of challenge. May God help us. May He teach us. May He give us an undivided heart so that we would trust Him to color in this compelling picture. We can kind of give the picture in broad lines, but we need God through His Holy Spirit to color it in our lives as we offer up our lives to Him. May He be our strength. May He be our hope. May He be our guide in all that we do. Let us pray.